Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We have been talking about things that we can do, things that are going to be things that God addresses with us in embracing His individual purpose for our lives. There's a commonality in what God is doing in our lives, and yet each of us is so much of an individual that He crafts His purposes and projects and circumstances for each one of us as individuals. Now, as we start moving forward, we're going to try to really address some practical issues that we have, and we'll be doing it here on the radio program, but also address it more on the website. And in case you haven't visited there, I encourage you to go and make yourself at least somewhat familiar so that when we start looking at some of the practical application of what we're going to be doing, you'll know where to go and what to look for. A lot of the content that we talk about here is already up at the website. If you're ever impatient for me to get to a particular subject or content, go to the tab that says Start Here at therainersclub.org, and you should be able to get a thorough understanding. It may take you a while to read through, but the content is already there. You don't need to wait for us on the radio program to get to an area or issue that concerns you. And likewise, we're going to be posting more on the blog and have plenty of opportunity for commenting and asking questions there. But you can always write me direct if you've got a specific area of concern or question. One of the things that's helpful for me is to know where I'm not being clear. And we're always looking for clarity. We want to, knowing God isn't that complicated. It's allowing Him to reveal Himself. And as He does so, He deals with the issues that are separating us. As much as you think you want to know Him, He wants to reveal Himself a bazillion times more than that. So this is His idea. And if it's His idea, since it's His idea, He knows how He's going to do it. We don't have to talk God into making Himself known. That's His desire. Our challenge is with our soul. Our soul has gotten used to being the king of our mountain. And when God comes in, He says, there will be no other king but me. And our soul is not all thrilled about, okay, giving up its throne. So we'll very often use the techniques it has learned, the control mechanisms, the strengths and weaknesses even of our temperament. Your soul has a life of its own and wants to keep it. The more your soul works to keep its own life, the less able it is to participate in eternal life. Eternal life has come to you by spirit. And we're constantly in that battle, that swing back and forth, that pendulum swing between eternal life and our soul life. And again, God knows this, and he is crafting every circumstance in your life to make the choice for eternal life easier and faster and more enticing. It's the goodness of God that draws us. Now, sometimes he uses negative consequences, but he does what is necessary. What we're trying to do here is help you make that choice easier. We're trying to help you by example, by practical steps, by how-tos, by experience and history, and again, trying to be practical. Here's what you can do to cooperate with the eternal life that is already within you. Whether you do it or not is totally between you and God. But there's a simplicity there. We always come back to being able to hear God's voice, being able to test what you hear, knowing how to act on it. That's it. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. So part of the challenge we have is we're not being taught that in mainstream or even not so mainstream religious Christian institutions and organizations. So when we are talking about some of these things, we have to start at the very beginning about what is salvation? What are we here on this earth? How do we relate to God? You know, we have to face things like, do we backslide? Can Christians go to hell? Is Satan as strong as God? Can we defy God? You know, do we have a free will? So many questions come up. You know, if God wanted to be known, why doesn't he just reveal himself? That we, to answer them, we have to go very far back to the basics, because the basics are truly not being shared. Now, every generation, every few generations, this is not anything new. But it's not passed on the way it should be from generation to generation. There's always people in the world who, for whatever reason, know how to know God. And God reveals himself. But that information is often lost, again, going from one generation to the next. And one of the reasons that's the case is you don't need anybody else or anything else to know God. It can just be you and him. So that brings us to one of the stages that we all go through at some point in our walk with God. And that's just simply to what I call KISS, K-I-S-S, Keep It Simple, Saint. There is a simplicity of devotion to Christ that everything else, if you're feeling pressure, where is that coming from? It's certainly not coming from the simplicity of devotion to Christ. If you're feeling like you're out of control, what is that doing? You may be out of control. Is that necessarily a bad thing? The only way to know is go to God. Ask God, what does he say? And then test it, and then act on it. But what we find instead is that there's a desire to make the Christian walk complicated or even specialized. That's often rooted in organizations, ministries, evangelical outreaches. That it's more about controlling involvement of participants rather than teaching them to know God. There's a separation between those who know what they're doing and those who don't. And in order to be in the in-group, you have to know a special language. You have to have a special history. You have to know special people. It's all often going to depend on, do you know how well you know the Bible? Or do you know the right people? And really what that's often all really comes across, and this is not to say people aren't sincere, but when there's something plus God in order to know him, that's a good red flag. If you have a desire to know him and you're told you also need to tithe or you also need to go to Africa to minister to people who haven't heard the scriptures or anything in order to please him or in order to enter into what God has for you, if it's God plus anything, that's a good red flag. Stop there and ask God, is this what you have for me? And you don't have to make a big stink of it. You don't need to go and tell them how wrong they're doing. That's between them and God. But you do what God is telling you. Again, you test it, you hear it, you test it, and you act on it. Very often, what we see in ministry of all different kinds is there's a soul strength that is being used to control others, and they're simply tacking the name God onto it. When we look at the example that Jesus gave us, there's that simplicity. He wasn't all that complicated. Everything he did, he got from his Father. All the understanding, all the power, everything he got and learned how to use from his Father. And that's the example he sets, is you, it's you and Father, you and God. He will give you everything you need. He has given you everything you need. You already have all the eternal life you're ever going to get. If that's not enough, maybe we need to talk about what eternal life is. Eternal life is God. You are already one in him in your spirit. And your spirit has all the qualities, the characteristics of God. You are already in your spirit done. God is already completely satisfied with his work in you, in your spirit. So that's not your problem. Eternal life, where are you going to spend, quote unquote, spend eternity? It's not the issue. It's, are you taking full advantage of this life here on this earth to learn what he wants you to learn, what he set aside for your soul to experience? And since as spirit beings we now also control time, there are so many things that we have wonderful opportunities that God has laid out for us and wants to, out of joy and excitement and peace and rest, participate in what he has for us. Having that openness of soul that we can trust him. that he is reliable and safe and loves us. We have this idea that if we get too far afield from what everybody else is learning, everybody else is being taught, that we'll enter into deception. But let me just propose that if God can't keep us from deception, God doesn't want you deceived. If God can't keep you from deception, what makes us think that we have the power or the strength or the ability to keep ourselves from deception? If he can't do it, we certainly can't. So there is no strength in numbers. And just because everybody else believes something doesn't mean it's from God. He's just letting them believe it until. And we all have beliefs that once God shows us a truth, we let them go. We go, oh, okay, I see. And because truth sets us free, we are free indeed. Not because we believe something mentally, but because we have experienced it. We have experienced freedom. So as you begin to enjoy that freedom, also become more and more free from manipulation and entanglements of the present religious system. The present religious system is part of the world system. It's how things work here on this earth. But that's not the way we work, because we are not solely of this earth. We are spirit beings. And we have authority over this world system, this religious system. But if you can't believe that, if you don't learn how to exercise that authority doesn't do you any good. So guess what? Part of the job of the religious system, again, part of the world system, is to prevent you from knowing you have the authority. Now, as you start becoming free from the world system, from the religious system, this will cause problems, just as it did for Jesus. We're dealing with the same issues. In fact, it will even enrage some, but it will give hope to others. Your confidence in knowing God will bring you out from under the influence of those who try to control you. But they will also fan the spark of hope in others that know there is something better. That what is being represented in many churches and in religious organizations is not God. Again, not criticizing them, because that's between them and God. But for you and I, we want reality. We want a real relationship with God. We want truth. Here, now. And that's what God wants for us too. So again, that example that Jesus gave, he knew his Father, and that is the example he set. This is how you know Father. We follow Jesus' example. Now, just as he did, part of our challenge is how to react to those who sense freedom. Because again, when you have that confident freedom, it's going to cause a reaction. be ready to give freely to others the freedom that God has given freely to you. And let the Lord teach you how to deal with those who merely want to keep you from that freedom, let alone teaching it. But part of that will be understanding the simplicity of knowing God. Here's the fastest way to evangelize. Ask a person, that your family member, whoever the Lord brings into your sphere of influence, would you be willing for God to reveal himself to you? That's it. That's all you need to say. So, no, there is no God. Well, okay, then you don't need to worry about it. If there is no God, then he won't reveal himself. But what if there is a God and all he needed to do was reveal himself? Would you be willing, would you be open to God revealing himself as God to you? And, you know, even if they don't answer, the question is there. And God reveals himself to us, to everyone, in his own way. Sometimes it's a specific thing, sometimes it's over time. But God does what he wants to do. But that's true evangelism. Because guess what? We all want to know God. Our soul is incomplete. Our soul is doing a job that it's not meant to do, whether we're a Christian or a non-Christian, but especially for not yet Christians. Their soul is trying to do the job of spirit, and it can't do it. And intrinsically, it knows that. But it doesn't have a way out. So when you plant that seed of choice, if there is a God, I could sure use that help. It gives opportunity for spirit to reveal himself. So again, you experience the simplicity, and God will put you in those situations. And this is part of what happens as you spend time with God, enjoying that freedom, enjoying relationship with him, is what he does next, or also is he develops your supernatural senses. These are not spiritual senses. Your spiritual senses are already developed. But your soulical senses, those senses that are tied to your soul that work regardless whether you're a spirit being or not. This is why people have ESP and don't know God. It's because our soul has senses that we have forgotten how to use or don't recognize. Well, as spirit beings, part of our healing process and being brought into oneness with God is our soulical senses start to become tuned, working effectively, familiar, by being in the presence of spirit. Now, soulical senses work. You and I have soulical senses. They function in the supernatural realm. There's other beings in the supernatural realm. And the more we refine and use our soulical senses, the more we see what's happening in the supernatural realm. Now, if you need a little bit more clarification, again, go to the website. There's a chart there about the three realms of reality, spirit, soul, and body, and which laws govern each one of those realities. most of us almost completely rely on our physical, natural senses to build a perception of reality. We think reality is what we see, smell, taste. The more we depend on the Lord for life, for guidance, and for meeting our needs, the more He tunes all of our senses to His wavelength. We will begin to see things from His perspective, and we start seeing what's going on in the supernatural and even more clearly in the natural realm, let alone the spirit. Remember, in the spirit, you're already seeing everything that's going on in the spiritual realm, everything that's going on in the supernatural realm, and everything that's going on in the natural realm. But we are still so dislocated from spirit. God wants to take care of that. He tunes our senses to be able to perceive as spirit sees. We begin to see things from His perspective and have the confidence, the freedom, and the ability to join with Him in what He's doing. This is part of our challenge, that so often God shows us a revelation of something and we jump on it. We figure it must be a teaching. We need to write a book. This is something everybody in the church needs to hear, when really, very often, God just wants to share what He's doing because He likes to share. Remember His basic nature, God's basic nature is to give. The character, the quality is love. It acts, what it does is expresses itself. It gives. That's why He is reforming us to be able to receive. He wants to give unconditionally, and He wants us to receive unconditionally. So we begin to see things from His perspective, and He teaches us what to do with what we see. But what we see changes us because it frees our soul. And when I say frees our soul, it brings our soul back into alignment with our spirit. Your soul comes home to where it belongs. Now, your soul will have to give up its own throne rights. But once you start tasting of the reality of who God is, your soul becomes much more willing to do that. Once that snowball starts down the hill, it goes faster and faster and faster. And once we learn that even though with wounds, getting wounds healed very often involves pain, but it's the pain of healing and not further wounding. And once we've experienced that going through it, we put it behind us. And that being healed is worth it because our soul, again, is free. We are then free in that area, not to go out and minister, or, you know, there's that thing about, oh, God lets you be wounded in that area, so you're healed there, then you can minister to others with that same wounding. And, you know, whether that's true or not isn't the issue. But He heals you because He loves you. For no other reason. He loves you. He wants you to be whole, that you would be one, spirit, soul, and body. He doesn't need any other motivation. But what happens is over time, the more time you spend with him, you will find a new definition of reality. When you start to see his plans and what is really going on in the spiritual and supernatural realms, your view of reality and even what's going on during this time, this age, will be altered forever. And your role will be changed forever. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience what he has for you. It will be worth it. So we will pick it up here, same time next week. Until then, if you have any questions, again, go to the website, drop me a line. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Have a great night.